Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday. That's right, Wednesday, the 8th day of September 2021. And, of course, we're approaching the anniversary of 9-11, the 20th anniversary this Saturday. I want to just thank you folks for your patience. Yesterday we did not have a program. That's because we were, by necessity, we had some issues or we had some things to do on behalf of and in tandem with the Shatter the Darkness or Shatter Investigative Intervention Unit. So know that we're out there. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your support. Thank you so much for your patience. All right. Now, all that said, going back to Friday, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and the coach, that was just a marvelous program. I thought, anyway, talk about informative. And, of course, Dr. Ted Brewer after that. And then, you know, it was just a fabulous week, I thought, last week. So, however, now, all of that said, and by the way, Stan Dale will be, because of yesterday, because of all of our schedule, you know, snafus or situations, Stan Dale will be on Friday, first hour. All right, now, Rand Paul seems to have been vindicated, hasn't he, by the, with respect to Fauci. Rand Paul vindicated Fauci reported to the Department of Justice for lying. It's felony published by 5 years in jail. Now, all of that said, of course, we're dealing with the SARS-CoV-2 bioweapon, all right? And I want to just address one thing on this. I happened to see this posted at Conservative Treehouse tonight, and I was doing some digging on this in tandem with what Steve Quayle had published to the Q-File subscribers or Q-File people. And I saw this, and now this is earlier in the week. I think this might have been Monday, but this is from August. Folks, this is kind of hard. It's not, I shouldn't say difficult to explain. This is Dr. Michael McDowell discussing the genetic bioweapon of SARS-CoV-2. All right. Now, folks, understand this. All right. There is, you know, look, there's something out there. But there's something else out there, if that makes sense. And the something else is the jab. Now, with me today, of course, is Richard Proctor, Dr. Richard Proctor, ProfessorInstitute.com, that we're going to be going through all of this together. This plus the unelected, self-appointed, self-righteous even bureaucrats running things, and some of the elected bureaucrats running things. But I want you to take a look at this, a few minutes of this video from Dr. Michael McDowell. Now, again, this is from mid-August, roughly August 14th, maybe 13th. And I don't know the venue, but he's discussing the genetic bioweapon, which is really the vaccine, which is not a vaccine, because vaccines have certain properties of attenuated viruses in them. This does not. This is an mRNA delivery system and genetic changes your genetics and stuff. But I want you to listen carefully to this. You don't have to be watching this, but if you are, hi. But listening to this, and thank you, Global Star. Thank you to all of the audio platforms carrying this program. Again, you're listening to the Hagman Report, H-A-G-M-A-N-N, Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com, and the truth can't be silenced. But listen to this carefully. All right. Now, I'm not going to play the entire clip, but the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. But listen to this very carefully, because I'm going to tell you something. This is a truth bomb to me that you're not going to hear anywhere. This, now, Dr. Michael McDowell, I believe he's a PhD. I believe also he's a pastor. I believe as well he's from Trinidad or Trinidad Tobago, area, and I believe that he's got a presence here in the United States, but he's got some pretty impressive credentials. But he cites people with even more impressive credentials. Let's go ahead and roll this clip. Eric the Tech. By the way, Eric the Tech, welcome back.
Thank you.
Actually, Eric the Tech and I both were out yesterday. He did some amazing things. I can't wait to see, after I'm long gone, your resume, what you're going to put on your resume. not resume, but experience. He did some amazing things yesterday. I can't get into what he did, but he did some amazing things yesterday in the investigative field. So, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
All right. All right. That off of, he did it while he's dragging his butt, exhausted. All right. Let's roll Dr. Michael McDowell, the genetic bioweapon, which is SARS-CoV-2, and the vax, specifically the vax. But take a real close listen to this. Go ahead.
I want to start my presentation by looking at a quick backdrop of the genetic bioweapons industry. And I think the world first became aware of the fact that there was such a bioweapons industry when a gentleman by the name of Dr. Leonard Horowitz published a book called Emerging Viruses in 1996. Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, Natural or Intentional. That was the title of the book. And in this academic treatise, and he's a virologist and a vaccinologist, he proved that AIDS and Ebola are manufactured viruses, engineered in a laboratory. His academic treatise has stood the test of time. It has never been refuted. And we know that the way academics stand and fall is on being presented and refuted. This has never been refuted. And the genetic bioweapons industry is the most covert industry on planet Earth. But it exists. I would like to go further by saying that William Cohen, the former U.S. Secretary of State in 1997, Cohen referred to the concept of an ethnic bioweapon as a possible risk. In 1998, some biological weapon experts considered such a genetic weapon plausible. And you know, when they say that, it means they've already produced it and they're stockpiling it and waiting to use it. And that research was being done on how certain substances can influence human genes. That was 1998. 10 years later, in 2008, the U.S. Government Congressional Committee sat under the label Genetics and Other Human Modification Technologies. A new kind of arms race, people, a new kind of arms race is happening. And in that committee said there are attempts to manipulate human genetics in ways that would horrify us. And so that was 2008. Let me go a little further and go beyond William Cohen. And we want to introduce you to somebody called Dr. Francis Boyle. Very, very significant gentleman. I think we have a photo of Dr. Boyle that we could put up. Dr. Francis Boyle is an international law expert. He's also an expert on genetic bioweapons. And he was a gentleman who framed the Anti-Terrorism Act. It's called the Bioweapons Anti-Terrorism Act, or BWATA. It was framed in 1989, signed into law in 1990 by President George W. Bush with unanimous approval from the U.S. Senate and the U.S. Congress. And so if there is a genetic bioweapons anti-terrorism act, it means obviously there must be a genetic bioweapons industry. And I want you to know, people, that on this earth, 22 nations on planet Earth have what we call BSL-4 labs. A BSL-4 lab means biosafety level 4. Biosafety level 4 is the highest level of biosafety. And in these labs, they make pathogens, deadly pathogens. I also want you to know that 16 nations on planet Earth stockpile genetic bioweapons. 16 nations stockpile. They have them in their armory. There's a new arms race going on. And I want to give you a quote from Dr. Francis Boyle. Dr. Francis Boyle, the framer of the Anti-Terrorism Act, says this, international law expert, bioweapons expert, SARS-CoV-2 is an offensive biological warfare agent made in a lab and engineered with gain-of-function properties. He said that in February 2020. I have quoted this in a documentary I did. It's on YouTube called Watchmen, What of the Night, Part 1, where I spell this out very clearly. And he has come to the conclusion, and this is going to shock you, amen, put on your seatbelts, this is going to shock you. He has come to the conclusion that SARS-CoV-2 is a tripartite chimera, and it is composed of one, SARS, the original SARS, but and he says SARS is already weaponized, And then that SARS virus was enhanced by gain of function properties. And step three, they were all then genetically recombined with an HIV virus. That's the virus that causes AIDS. So a tripartite chimera.
Okay,
if you think I am kidding, I have some notes here.
All right, thank you. When you hear this, remember William Cohen, former U.S. Secretary of State, 1997, referred to ethnic bioweapon as a possible risk. In 1998, some biological experts considered such a weapon plausible. And now, in the comments section at the CTH, but specifically, I remember this. Remember 1990, mid-90s, 97, 90, through 2000, roughly. I don't know what industry, but they began collecting and analyzing individual DNA for businesses. You know, Ancestry.com comes to mind, or 123, I believe, whatever the various companies. Remember the, well, we'll research your ancestry. Just send us some of your DNA. Okay, and then we had the Genome Research Project to study populations' DNA, the Human Genome Project. Remember that? Remember that. Okay. How does that apply to what he's talking about? So this specific virus, and I'm going to, you can get this again, go to the link in the program description box if you don't care for my opinions and analysis and commentary. But, I just want to let you know that this is, I truly believe after additional research, that this is the forerunner for an ethnic, if you will, ethnic pointed or focused bioweapon. This is the delivery system in part with the jab. Now, continue with this, and I don't know where, but we should fast forward it, but continue with this because he's got a couple of other truth bombs here that he's going to drop, and then it'll make perfect sense to you, and then Dr. Richard Proctor will be able to comment on this because we have not discussed this prior to the show. But, you know, we've talked about this before, but go ahead and finish this or continue with this.
I could refer to, and I call them Smoking Gun 1, 2, and 3. Francis Boyle, quoting from an article called Antiviral Research, February 10, 2020, written by three French scientists and one Canadian scientist from Montreal, said the Wuhan coronavirus genetic analysis may provide a gain of function to 2019 novel coronavirus. So, the Wuhan coronavirus genetic analysis may provide a gain of function to 2019 novel coronavirus for efficient spreading in human population compared to other beta coronaviruses. He says that is a smoking gun. It was genetically engineered for efficient spreading in human population. Wow. That's recorded. Gain of function, if you don't know what gain of function means genetically engineered to be more lethal, more virulent, more infectious, and to mutate or adapt more readily with slight increases in immune selection pressure from the population. It's also called accelerated viral evolution. And I saw Dr. Gill refer to that in his campaign about, and he used the colloquial parlance, just so. Viruses don't just so jump from animal to human. Smoking gun number two, UNC. And that's the University of North Carolina, don't be surprised. The University of North Carolina labs at Chapel Hill brought a team together to do an experiment. And part of the North Carolina University team was, they were joined by a gentleman from China called Dr. Zheng Li Shi. Dr. Zheng Li Shi. He was from the Wuhan Institute of Virology and the Chinese Academy of Sciences. And in fact, Wuhan gave a grant to the University of North Carolina so that scientists could be involved in this experiment. They imported SARS cells, SARS viruses, from the Fort Detrick labs. And for those of you who know geopolitics and covert geopolitics, very necessary for any Bible prophecy teacher or any pastor in this day to know, amen, the Fort Detrick labs are the U.S.'s main BSL-4 labs where they research, stockpile, and test genetic bioweapons. And so this team, given a grant by China, were working on increasing the pathogenicity of the SARS samples that they got from Fort Detrick. Smoking gun number three. Research at the Australian Animal Health Lab was funded by the Chinese Ministry of Science and Technology, along with the other two I mentioned, the Wuhan Institute and the Academy of Sciences from China. And the experimental goal was to coalesce the initial weaponized SARS virus, enhance it with gain-of-function properties, and then coalesce it genetically to an HIV virus. Amen. Therefore, forming the tripartite chimera. And so I'm listening to you where these experiments took place. Let me go a little further. Smoking gun number four. Indian scientists did an analysis on the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and they said they definitely found elements of the HIV virus in the genomic sequencing. So this was confirmed by a team from India. And let me mention to you that HIV is a retrovirus. Retroviruses use mRNA to inject their stuff into the cell. And when the mRNA is injected into the cell, there is something called retrointegration that takes place. And that means that the mRNA is converted back into DNA, and then it coalesces with the chromosomal DNA of the host. So retroviruses like HIV carry an enzyme called reverse transcriptase, which changes mRNA back into DNA so it can coalesce with the genes in your nucleus. This means that when they said it's an mRNA vaccine, and they said it will only go to the ribosomes and form proteins, that's not true. It will be reconverted to DNA and affect your human genome.
Wow.
So Francis Boyle says this: the most dangerous biological weapon ever released on the public is SARS-CoV-2.
Wow.
Now, let me go to smoking gun, which number five? Smoking gun five? Smoking gun number five. Fauci's emails. Wow. Fauci's emails say this. First of all, we must note Fauci's vacillations. When recently he was called to testify to the U.S. Congressional Committee, and this is all on video record, he said no, U.S. taxpayers did not fund the Wuhan laboratory. Then he said yes, U.S. taxpayers did fund the laboratory, but it was a subgrant. Then he said, we funded it, but there was no gain-of-function research. Then he said, we did fund it, there was gain-of-function research, but it was a sound scientific decision.
Jesus.
Then he said, it would have been negligent not to fund it. So he kept vacillating back and forth, and I said, this is all on record. Let me go further to another one of Fauci's emails. This is from Dr. Christian Anderson, and I'm proving to you that SARS-CoV-2 is a genetic bioweapon. Dr. Christian Anderson, in an email, a secret email that was unearthed when Fauci's emails were exposed, he said the unusual features of the virus make up a really small part of the genome. So one has to look really closely at the sequence to see that some features look engineered.
Wow.
Smoking gun number six. Further, this is the same guy, Dr. Christian Anderson, writing in an email to Dr. Fauci. Further, I should mention that after discussions with Eddie, Bob, and Mike, his fellow virologists, we all find the genome inconsistent with expectations from evolutionary theory. This is what Dr. Gill was referring to. The way a virus normally evolves, this virus didn't look like that. So they found, number one, the virus looked engineered, and it looked inconsistent with evolutionary theory. Wow. So, beloved, this states very clearly that SARS-CoV-2 is a genetic bioweapon. And let's go to Charles Leiber. Charles Leiber,
okay, listen to this real closely.
is the head of biology and the head of chemical biology at Harvard University. He was. And this guy used to train graduate Chinese students. Yes, that's him up on the screen. Used to train graduate Chinese students in his lab. He's a microbiologist of the highest note. And he has received over $15 million in defense contracts from the United States government to do just that, create genetic bioweapons. Two of his students were arrested at the Logan International Airport in December 2019 smuggling 21 vials of sensitive biological material to Wuhan, China. Wow. Amen. Charles Leiber himself was arrested by the FBI on January 28, 2020 for espionage with China. He was their consultant and actually was a hands-on builder of the BSL-4 lab in Wuhan, China. China has won the Luke's BSL-4 lab. It was built by Charles Leiber through his consultancy. He was paid $150 million to do that and had a salary of $50,000 a month from China. Amen. And so it has become very clear that SARS-CoV-2 is not a Kung Fu virus or a Chinese virus, as some people say. It was due to Anglo-Asian complicity. Amen. Leiber's involvement actually goes much deeper than I mentioned in, but that's not for this paper. I will skip at this point. I have talked extensively about vaccine types and mass vaccination at the time of a pandemic. But I'm just going to hit on one thing quickly before I go to my final point. Yes, I want you to understand that the vaccine types that are on the market, Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson, are all genetic vaccines. They are mRNA and viral vector vaccines that will affect your human genome. They are not normal. Amen. The normal vaccines that I got when I was a child and my children got when I was an adult, amen, are attenuated or inactivated virus vaccines. And these vaccines are new technology, never before been deployed in the human population. They are tools of gene therapy or Frankenstein technology, as some people call it, amen, a mystery concoction. Amen. And they are not normal. Therefore, and I hear doctors on television conflating the two types of vaccines. They are tools of gene therapy. If SARS-CoV-2 is a bioweapon, then the code of the spike protein for SARS-CoV-2 injected into you, you're having a bioweapon injected into you. And the spike protein, I won't go into the scientific details right now, but the spike protein is pathogenic and it will damage you. Dr. Sukrit Bagri says the vaccine is a thrombogenic vaccine. And he warns of neural venous thrombosis and he warns of the decimation of the human population. Mass vaccination at the time of high infectious pressure. That means at the time, at the time when the pandemic is at its height. That causes, it fuels a phenomenon known to all virologists. I heard a virologist on television, TV6 News, last night mentioned this, and called viral immune escape. And in a nutshell, viral immune escape is this. When you put a virus under pressure through a mass vaccination program, the vaccine-induced antibodies will stand up against the COVID-19 virus and fight it. And so the virus is on the run. Once a virus gets on the run, remember this virus is a virus that is specially, it has gain-of-function properties.
Yes.
You put it under pressure, it changes.
Right.
It shifts. It changes its cloak. It looks different.
Wow.
Amen. It becomes a variant.
Wow.
And the variant cannot be stopped by the vaccine-induced antibodies. Yeah. Vaccine-induced antibodies also shut down your innate immune system.
Mm.
So the vaccinated have vaccine-induced antibodies that cannot stop a variant, and then they also shut down your innate immune system, so variants can come straight through and infect those who are vaccinated. That is viral immune escape. And that says that the vaccinated are defenseless against variants.
Jesus.
This is no longer a pandemic of COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2. This is a pandemic of variants. Amen. And there is something called recombination. Listen to me carefully. Why aren't our virologists telling us this? Amen. Recombination means that a vaccinated host can be infected by more than one variant at one time. Oh, big deal. Delta variant is in Trinidad. You heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, Dr. Peter McCullough says they don't have enough letters in the Greek alphabet to name the variants. Amen.
Ooh.
In fact, there are over 100 variants already floating around all over the globe. Some put it as 185. If a vaccinated host is infected, co-infected by more than one variant, the variants, when they get inside, they have a little party, and they mix, and they change DNA, and they camouflage, and they mix their DNA, the recombinant DNA technology takes place, and it produces a super variant.
Yeah.
Amen. And if super variants are produced, nothing can stop them. And already they are saying that the latest variant to come out is vaccine resistant. Well, this is just the beginning. Dr. Gert van den Bosch warns, He said, if we do not immediately stop mass vaccination campaigns all around the world will experience an international catastrophe of mass mortality. I didn't say that. He did.
Okay.
The vaccinated are a threat.
We can hold it right here or cut it off right here, folks. The link to this video, it exists, I believe it was from Monday at Conservative Treehouse, but it'll be in the link to the video. In fact, I'll put the link to the CTH article as well. It'll be in the description box, program description box at HagmanReport.com. The reason I want to bring this up is because what Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, what he has written about in the Liberty series, what he has been discussing throughout the weeks on this program, and what he's going to be talking about today, in part, are the people behind what we're seeing. Now, I've always called this the Chinese Communist Party virus. Because, of course, the Chinese, you know, who benefits? CCP benefits, obviously, right? The Chinese Communist Party. Because if they can decimate or if they could take out the Western world in terms of being a power broker, and we talked with Dr. Proctor about the monetary system last time, you know, China can belly right up, and there we have it. And by the way, I wrote an article exclusive to the Wisconsin Christian News. And it's gonna be in the next, this coming edition of the Wisconsin Christian News about the, Hunter Biden laptop, the connection between the Hunter Biden laptop and Afghanistan. You might say, well, wait a second, what does that have to do with, the Chinese Communist Party virus? Okay, well, you heard Dr. Meadows say, it's an Anglo-Asian, a product of Anglo-Asian, complicity. And I believe that to be the case, given the fact that University of North Carolina, Fauci, others associated, again, the very people that Dr. Proctor is going to be talking about, the unelected bureaucrats, the deep state, the members of the deep state, the people that are in my view, running things behind the scenes in a very psychopathic manner, I believe. Wanting to be small G gods or big G, you know, attempting to, for godlike status. This is what this is all about. Now, I'm going to toss a couple more things and then bring Dr. Proctor on here. I want you to think back because of the anniversary of 9/11. I don't like that word associated with the attacks of 9/11. The 20th, commemorating 20 years of 9/11 on Saturday. We were told, and we had the perception of, I'm going in different directions here, but it's going to be all tied up here at the end. We were told at that time that the buildings were brought down. People were killed by a bunch of Arab, a bunch of Muslims, primarily from Saudi Arabia, intent on attacking the United States. And of course, you know, for attacking the economy. All right. The perception, that was the perception at the time, which led to the invasion of Afghanistan, which led to the invasion of Iraq and so on. Okay, which led to President Trump saying endless wars, right? And then we have this fiasco more recently of Biden just pulling out of Afghanistan and leaving behind a bunch of Americans. And again, what does this have to do with the virus? Just like he described as this tripartite concoction against humanity being released by these globalists, so too, I believe, is what we're seeing on the world stage, specifically against the West and specifically against the United States. We've got this tripartite attack, if you will, this mixture of attacks against the United States, specifically in the West in general. And the attacks began, I believe, back, you know, of course, way back when, but in recent times, after Donald Trump was assumed office, was elected in 2016 and was sworn in 2017. The deep state fought Donald Trump 100% of the time. Now, am I saying, okay, you know, am I trying to elevate President Trump? No, I'm just giving you facts, okay? Because I don't believe Biden won. And after all, have you seen all of the the hatred to Biden recently, especially when he visited New Jersey, New York. What was it, yesterday or the day before? Yesterday, I think it was. And the people were saying, you know, how dare you leave Americans behind? And they were angry. And I was watching various programs saying, well, you know, he's lost his base or is losing his base. No, he never had a base to lose, a base population of supporters. He never had that base. That's important to remember because, again, this goes to what Dr. Proctor has written about Liberty Series and is going to be talking about today. And you might say, well, hurry up, bring him on. I will. Hang on. But I also want to mention, too, in tandem with this Saturday, being 20 years after 9/11, how many recall the anthrax attacks of October 2001 and the consequential Amerithrax investigation, as it was labeled? It focused on people from Fort Detrick and such. Anthrax, right? Okay, the reason I bring this up is people have short memories, and what happened during that very confusing, seemingly confusing period of time? How many people remember that? Oh, we have a suspect, and we arrested him. Oh, sorry. We'll release you. Yeah, I guess we had the wrong guy. This is the FBI now. 10,000, I mean, one of the largest, supposedly one of the largest investigations in American history. Okay, so what does that have to do with any of this? This is all part of the same pattern of attacks against the United States and the West. I don't know if you're following me on this, but if you consider what happened after 9/11, the Patriot Act being established and being put into law, law in quotation marks, only passed through Congress just quickly and decisively. Then you had the attacks, the anthrax attacks. What was that meant to do that perhaps failed to do? Do you see any compelling similarities between the anthrax of 2001 and the CCP virus or the Anglo-Asian virus known as SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19? Are there any parallels? Think about this. And perhaps, are there any parallels with the injection known as the vaccination to the lessons learned from 2001? And going back to what Dr. Meadows said in 97-98, the DNA collection, and of course, Fauci. Now, very quickly and in conclusion, what Rand Paul was just on Hannity, I think it was yesterday or the debut. I think it was the Monday. And Rand Paul said, I'm filing a report with the Department, Biden's Department of Justice. Like, it's really going to do any good, right? It's all smoke and mirrors anyway. But forget that, because nothing's going to happen to him unless we, the people, decide it's going to happen. But that was based on 900 pages from a very toughly wrested FOIA lawsuit by The Intercept that illustrates that the National Institutes of Health, which Fauci has headed up since the first term of Ronald Reagan, provided money for the gain-of-function research on viruses at Wuhan Institute of Virology. And he lied and lied again and lied again, and he's being shoved down our throats, and people are saying, you got to believe him. So what I'm saying to you is, let's understand that everything that we're seeing today happened today. It's not a chaotic happenstance. It's by design, because nobody can be that stupid, okay, with respect to, oh, we'll keep rolling out the jabs and then booster jabs and such, even though it's not effective. And in fact, it's counterindicated, it's counterproductive, and it's counter to our health. No one can be that ignorant to the facts of what's really happening, especially considering VAERS. No one can be that stupid, to think that the debacle in Afghanistan, actually the criminal actions in Afghanistan, leaving our people behind in the rapid withdrawal, is just, oops, made a mistake. Because people say, well, President Trump is going to bring the troops home anyway, May 1st, had he finished, or had he had the second term. Well, that's true. But, yeah, the date was May 1st, extended by Biden, but the terms of the withdrawal changed. And, of course, that's why the Taliban rose to power. Again, all of this is an attack on the West. It's a power shift in the Middle East, attack on the West, an attack specifically in America. Our economy, our society, our way of life, it's in peril. I don't know if I made sense, but the very same people who are engaged in the decisions behind Afghanistan and the very same people who were engaged and are engaged, the institutions anyway, in the anthrax and in the SARS-CoV-2 or the COVID-19 and the pharmaceutical conglomerates with the jabs. All of these people are really the same, one and the same people and one and the same institutions, if not the same people, certainly the same institutions and related to everything, all the deep state people. So it turns out that, yes, this is all, it is indeed a conspiracy. It is indeed. If you connect the dots, if you look at the pattern, if you take a template and put it over what happened in 01 to what happened with Afghanistan, with what happened to November 3rd, it's again, it's the same pattern, same stuff, different day. We've seen this play before. And again, Dr. Richard Proctor has talked and written extensively about this in the Liberty series. And he's with me now, and I thank you so much for your patience as I kind of set this up for, hopefully set it up for you and I to discuss the deep state and also what they're doing to our founding documents, what they're doing practically and what they're doing on the internet with respect to that and the members of the deep state. Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisionInstitute.com. Link will be in the program description box. Welcome, sir.
Good to be here. Even now, even after all of that, it's good to be here. Although I would have taken it a little different direction as you did.
Okay, do it.
Well, I would go back this whole package that you're talking about right now. It's all happening, and it's all a part of, you said, conspiracy, and I would say absolutely. Let's take it back even further. We could go back clear into the 50s when that guy was experimenting with all the kids, sex with all the children, remember? I don't remember his name. Started with an F. He was back. He was the beginning of the revolt of the horrible sexual revolution that's occurred. But why did it all occur? See, that's the question we don't have. We can go all through all of the debate, the discussion here about who's doing it. The question is, why is it being done? Well, in my research over many years now, an item loomed to the surface that the goal of these, shall we say, conspirators, the ones that are in charge, the guys who are in charge of the World Economic Forum, the guys who are in charge of Bilderbergers, the guys who are in charge of Council of Foreign Relations, the guys who are in charge of the Royal Institute of International Relations, all of those are subcommittees of the people who are really in charge. And the really in charge folks are the people I named in the preface of the first volume, and their descendants. That's the group of people. I call them, just to lump them together, the international banking establishment. Others call them the insiders. Some call them the elite. Some, doesn't matter what the name is, it's the same people doing the same thing. Now, I want to skip a whole bunch of things they've done to go to one thing that's crucial in this discussion. All of this is very crucial. Let me ask you guys a question. Would it be more important to destroy women or destroy men to decrease the population? Well, think of it this way. One man can fertilize 100 or 500 women. One baby has to have one woman. So if you want to limit the babies and the population, you limit the women that are reproducing. How do you do that? You do it in any way, shape, or form that you can. For example, Gardasil occurred not long ago, and the repercussions of that was really It was an item given for cervix cancer that occurs in women in their 40s later. It was given to teenage girls. How long did the protection from the cervix cancer last? 5 years. Why do teenage girls who are not going to be subjected to cervical cancer getting a permission or a vaccine, or whatever we want to call it? There were two that was done for cervical cancer, which is not going to occur in their lives for 20 years.
And boys too, by the way.
But it's mostly girls, because girls were sterilized. Guys were too. They were sterilized. They lost their ability to reproduce. All kinds of stuff. Now let's go to another issue. The other issue was equal rights for women. Remember when that was going through? Really hard. What was really happening? Women were being told that they needed to be in the workforce and being treated properly. Women were being told that they didn't need men. They could do it all themselves. Lesbianism came along with it. In other words, if women cohabitate with women, or they go to work and they don't have children, we have again decreased the babies. All of these are a goal to decrease the babies. Another goal, but this was to decrease the whole population, was Silent Spring. We talked about that before, Carson. She wrote that book claiming that DDT damaged the eggs of birds, and that's why Silent Spring, because the birds aren't here anymore. Well, that's all garbage. It was made up out of whole cloth at the time, but it served the purpose to get the United Nations to mandate DDT out of the picture. Never use DDT again. So what happened? Well, it was eradicated in the West in 1975, that kind of stuff. But it was not eradicated in Africa or India, and they still suffer millions of deaths from that. It's because they want to get rid of the population. That's the way to do it. Folks, this whole goal, these guys have a goal. People you don't even think of were. Cousteau was, Jacques Cousteau of the waters. That guy was a part of this. We've got to get rid of 95% of the population. That's the goal. 95%. So think of the things that have happened. We have AIDS. We have HIV. These are manufactured items also. And they have affected what? Genetics. Birth rate. Killing off people. One way or another. We have HIV, let's see, I mentioned that. Malaria, yes, we mentioned that. Let me see here. Mostly women. Okay, now what's happened now with this particular event? We talk about COVID-19. Oh, this has been terrible. It's been terrible. It's been nothing. It was a lead up to the vaccine, which was planned from day one of the COVID stuff put out. The COVID was to destroy the United States, and I did a really good job. And to eventually bring in the vaccine so that we could kill everybody, possibly with the vaccine. Bioweapon? Absolutely. But it's not against an enemy that you and I would perceive. It's against an enemy called our neighbors and our families and us. And that's who's being targeted. Now, this is all a pattern. There's nothing new under the sun here. This has been going on forever. Germany did it in the 40s. Let's get rid of all of somebody. Oh, yes, Germany did it. We had lots of eugenics in Germany, destroying populations. We have it today. We had it in the 20s. In the 20s against the black race, when people started isolating that race and with various diseases and various things. We also had it to the Indians. We tried to destroy the Indians. Who's doing all of this? Notice I said generally after generally this century of 2021. But it went on before that too. But we were set up. We were set up slowly and surely. A long pattern of going up the hill. Let's think of it this way. You're coming down a hill, you go over the top of it. You know, not going very fast. And as you go down the hill more and more, you begin to pick up speed. When you get to the bottom, you're really going, well, we're at the bottom, going pell-mell to try to destroy the population of this country down to about 500 million. And those will be slaves for the other, shall we say, peers, the kings, the rulers, the chiefs, the guys, the elite. They'll be still alive. They're not taking any of this stuff. They're not getting any of these things, just you and I. They don't take the vaccines. They don't take Gardasil. So they don't do any of these things. They set us up, set us up. This has been going on and on and on. And I did cover how in length of my series, although I don't concentrate quite this much on it, but I concentrate on it, pointing out the population. What have they done? I have an article I mentioned several times, 60 pages called How Do You Kill a Tree? You sever its roots. Well, how do you kill the population? You sever its roots. Who are the roots? The women. The women. So we'll destroy the women. We'll destroy their things in the home. We'll destroy the family. We'll destroy everything we can to affect women so the women will be less reproductive overall. Many countries in the West are down below the replacement rate. And we're in the U.S. getting very close to that, below the replacement. That means we won't have enough babies to replace the people who are dying. That's what that means. And that means your population goes away. So what do they do to keep the United States going? They bring in all these other groups of people all over the world, and they replace who? The white Anglo-Saxon Christian group. Now, Anglo-Saxon Christian also includes the black people, too, in this area. Okay, it does. I'm saying this area rather than Africa, because Africa is being targeted fierce by these people, but not the states, not so much, but they still are being targeted. The goal is get rid of everybody possible. So under the replacement rate, slowly but surely, the population disappears. It literally disappears. And you don't have to do any abortions. What's abortion done? How many babies have we killed in abortion? We're coming on 60 million in this country, 3,000 a day, and it doesn't slow down. What? 3,000 a day? Now think for a moment. How many of those people would have had children? And how many of those children would have had children? And how many of those children would have had children? This thing started in 72. We started killing babies in 72 in a big way. Abortion's been going on since the beginning of time. Okay. Women have always wanted to have fun and get rid of the kid. Okay. And the men wanted to have fun and they didn't care about the kid.
I just want to interject one thing here real quick, okay, about abortions, because Texas passed that heartbeat law, Governor Abbott signed that heartbeat law. The left, the deep state specifically, but the left politically went just, they're going crazy.
Yes.
Okay, so today, and this goes to what you're saying, but people will be surprised at this. Today, I was kind of blown back when I saw Steve Bannon on War Room talk about the Satanists, actually, the satanic element here in the United States, which are the same people you're talking about, many of the same people. I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but many of the deep state, if you will, whatever, the international banking executive cartel, whatever, those people have this ideological bias toward this Satanism. And I'm telling you,
they do. Yes.
You know, and you will, folks, you're going to be blown away when the information from our current investigation, which again is ongoing. So very little information, really, how abortion is such a satanic practice that they actually have women, are being coached by Satanists as to what to do when they have an abortion or have their unborn child murdered. That's not to be dismissed, folks, in terms of this discussion, the Satan part of this. And I know that seems like a stretch and off topic, but it's not, because it's that same thread, ideological thread, worship thread, if you will, of Satan that goes through everything that Dr. Proctor is talking about. Now, I didn't want to take you off course there, but I wanted to kind of put that there, because again, folks, it's just going to blow your mind. Go ahead, sir.
I'm going to wander into what you're just talking about. Investigations that you have ongoing to help children who are in the clutches of evil men and women. Okay. Wicca does that. All the sacrifice, all these kinds of things. Think about it for a minute. There's a place called Bohemian Grove. How many of you folks have heard of Bohemian Grove? It's in California. Bohemian Grove. Big area. They have meetings there, parties, retreat. They have gatherings. Who does? This same group of people, this Satanists that you're talking about, this same group of people, they're the ones who go to Bohemian Grove. What do? I have no idea, but I'm sure it's not healthy and it's not good. I'm sure there are sacrifices. You know, we look back at Moloch. Remember Moloch back in the ages, years ago, before Christ, Moloch? What did they do? How did they worship Moloch? They threw babies into the fire. What do we do today? We throw babies under the bus. We don't even have them, kill them, let them get born. We even go so far as if a baby escapes the abortion, it was supposed to be abortion, they leave the baby aside, starve to death. Folks, we are a terrible organization at this point. Terrible, terrible. We've got hands down over our buddies at Sodom and Gomorrah. But think, it's not the regular, it's not the Christian people. It's not that, it's the influence that's going on throughout. What's happening K-9 today? I'm talking about school ages, K-12, whatever you want to call it. What's happening there? They're teaching many of the kids in laboratories about sex activities and showing and helping them understand how to do it. What? What's going on here? Well, if we can get as many as we can thinking they're homosexuals or thinking that they're gay, then those people won't have children. You know, I mean, folks, the whole goal is get this population down and it continues to grow. They're going to get a hold of it yet. This disease is it. This particular inoculation is it. It is the cream of the cake of what these people are after. I mean, and these people, oh my. Well, here, I'm going to change patterns here.
Go ahead.
We were just talking about, for a moment there, you talked about the National Archives. You just mentioned it just briefly.
Right.
National Archives, really quickly, very quietly, okay, shouldn't say quickly, but it's been happening over time, not very many, few months, over time, the National Archives has decided that the founding documents and many of the documents in their archives, now, these are the founding documents of our country. Archives, that's not the Library of Congress. These are archives of our history. Okay, that's what they are. Now, they've decided that they're racist, that they're violent, that they're against the principles of today. They have. So now they're warning you not to read them, not to have them, not to do it because they're bad. They'll influence you to violence. They'll influence you to, oh, wow, we've got to get rid of those things. And to do that, they have started rewriting the descriptions of these documents to leave out anything that's contrary to the language of today. For example, if there's some place that talks about women, they're going to change it to person. John talks about men, they're going to change it to person. They're going to change all of these things. Now, if you've read 1984, you're going to see the end game of this. The hero in 1984 worked in an organization that changed history to agree with the stuff of today. That was his job. It was a whole department, one of the major departments of the government, was to change everything that said anything contrary to today. For example, if you're at war with A and B is your ally 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 1 year ago, and all of a sudden now, for whatever reason, B becomes your enemy and A is now your, the other one is now your ally. So they got to go through and change all the history that ever said that A was an enemy, because that's an ally. We got to change all the history that said anything about B, because now it's an enemy. We change it because it was an ally. We've got to change everything to agree with what's happening this minute. That's what was going on in 1984. So the history was lost. What do you think's been happening in the United States over the last 3-4 decades? Destroying our history. Now here's the national government, the National Archives, beginning that information altering program. Now we've had it going on a long time. I understand that. But now it's become official. They're officially doing it. And the excuse they're using? Oh, we can't have things like that. That's violence. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, yeah. But all the murders that are going on in the street, the riots, that's not violence. So that's okay. Do you understand the hypocrisy that's going on here? But that's how these people thrive. They thrive on hypocrisy. They use whatever's available at the moment. Right now, at the moment, we've got all these people wanting to take words out of our vocabulary. The word gay has changed from when I was born, okay? Rainbows changed. All kinds of words change all the time. Welfare word changed. I've talked about that a lot. Lots of words change. They change the meaning. So we go back in and we change history to agree with today's meaning. And that's what they're doing in the National Archives. Right now they're just doing it to the descriptions. But that won't end there. No. If there's important enough to do to the descriptions, they will eventually move into the document itself. All men are created equal. Will be all persons are created equal. Yes, because we can't have men. Because the word men, which used to be a word that covered all humans, men, mankind was everybody. Girls, everybody was mankind. Not anymore. It's person kind now, because we've got to separate these words. Anything that says man, amen. Oh, that's man. Watch it go someday. The word amen is A-M-E-N. Because it's men, that word is going to go. Folks, that's
Did you happen to see, I didn't mean to interrupt, but yet I did. Did you see that it was a prayer before, I think it was at the House level, the close was amen and a woman, okay?
Okay, there you go.
Did you hear that? Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't expect.
You know, if it was a joke or if it was sarcastic, it was in poor taste either way, especially after a prayer. But there it is. Yeah, go ahead.
It's not. And a man and a woman, that's too much. Let's just call it a person and be done with it. Folks, that's what's happening around us. And we're trying to pretend that it doesn't exist. We're trying to pretend that. Let's change horses again. Let's move into who's really talking to us today. Who's passing our laws? Who's deciding? Who's deciding what's going to happen next? Well, tell you what. It isn't Biden. No. And some people say it's Obama. In fact, this article, I think, they say it's Obama. It isn't Obama either. Although he's a good puppet, but so is Biden a good puppet. The purpose of all of this is to get people in control of everybody else. It goes clear back to the Bible that when they talk about the war in heaven, that's a war. What was it? Good against evil. Well, here we are again, right here. Same thing. Good against evil. Right here now being played out again. Who are these unelected people? Oh, you know, we have scads of them. Oh. Supreme Court justices, they weren't elected. Federal judges, they weren't elected, yet they're sure controlling our life. Think about this, justice system. Do you and I have the same justice system as, Bill Gates? No, we don't. First off, we don't have enough money if we're innocent, we still don't have enough money to get too innocent because they'll keep appealing it until we run out of money and we're bankrupt. And we'll still be guilty because it was never decided, it was appealed. And eventually it'd be appealed up to where we lose because there's so much money. We do not have the same, they call it justice. And they put a blind thing in balance. Oh, it's not balanced and it's not blind. It's very precise today. Very precise. Who are these people? Federal judges, all of them. Well, I'm going to say all of them because there's always one that isn't. Okay. Who else? Department of Justice? FBI, CIA. Oh, by the way, every one of these I'm reading now is unconstitutional. Volume 1 has a list of the unconstitutional 30 pages of unconstitutional organizations. And they include Department of Justice, FBI, CIA, NSA, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Defense, CDC, HOO, and on and on. Department of Health and Safety. Doesn't matter. They're all unconstitutional. And we're paying for them every day. Every day. Mm. Let's wonder another thing. Okay. You brought it up earlier. 9/11.
Yes.
Yes. Hurry, Bob. Let's wander to 9/11. I'm going to wander around here. I don't know how this is going to run out. 9/11, guys. Let's see what happened. Some allegedly, and I'm saying that with quotes, allegedly, some planes ran into some buildings. and the buildings fell down in their footprint. They didn't lean any direction. I wonder how that happened. You watch bombs hitting in cities, the buildings fall over. They lean and they fall over. These buildings went straight down, okay? And one went straight down that wasn't hit, assumably not hit by any. Now, what happened after that? Within 2 weeks, they had the Patriot Act and the Homeland Security stuff on the table in Congress. Thousands of pages. Nobody took time to read it, but they did take time to pass it. Now, just a minute. Have you ever watched the movie, I like movies, guys, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Al Capra movie. Yeah. That movie takes Jimmy Stewart, who's a Boy Scout leader in a town somewhere, and brings him to Washington as a senator who doesn't know anything. And he doesn't. And he gets there, and he says he wants to have a bill. They thought he was going to sit down and write a bill, and they straightened him out. Yes, you write it, but then it has to be written, and all this has to, and it takes months to do a bill. Any bill. If your legislature meets next January and you haven't started the bill, it won't be there. Okay? It takes months to put these together. And 1,000 pages? That's huge. It takes months to put these together. Well, they had it on the shelf in 30 days, in 20 days, 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it was. It was on the shelf. It was there, done, written, ready to be passed. That don't happen. So what does that mean? That means it was there ready to go before the towers went down. Before the towers went down, that bill was written on the books. Not on the books in the legislature yet, but on the books, ready to shove right in front of everybody as soon as the moment arrived. On the 11th, it arrived, and by the 25th, they were voting on it. Some number like that. Come on, folks. That ain't right. It can't be done. Our system is too slow to do that. Nonetheless, it did. It did happen. Oh, yes. And we got what we call the Patriot Act, the Department of Homeland Security. Now, let's see. What do those two departments do now? Let's talk about Homeland Security directly. What does it do? Well, I think it put the people in the airports to monitor everybody, make sure no bad people got on the plane. I think it did that. Of course, people were already doing that, but obviously not to a good enough effect. So we had to put federal government people there, Homeland Security. And we kicked out all the people from the state. So the state had and was doing a job of monitoring things going onto the planes that might be dangerous. Okay? Homeland Security took over to do it. What does that mean? That means the state officials got put out and the federal officials got put in every airport. Have you recently heard about DC police being placed in various major cities to do the policing of those cities? That's yep. Just like they did. That's just like they did with the TSA guys in the airport. And they start with one and bingo, it swells to everyone. So that's the precursor. You're going to see DC police in your town organized and functioning as federal government officials telling you what you can do and not do. And arresting.
Yeah, to be precise, Capitol Police. Now, that's, yes. but essentially Capitol Police, because by the very nature of moving them to Florida, California, other places, that's the federalization of the police, which has always been the objective of the left, is to federalize the police, not necessarily defund, but federalize, for reasons of oppression, really, of the citizenry. Go ahead, sir.
Well, think for a moment. We're going to defund the police. That's what those riot guys are talking about. Defund the police. Defund the police. If we have the police defunded, what will happen? Crime will rise. How will we fix it? We'll send police from Washington, D.C. That'll do it. That'll fix it. That's the goal. That's a part of the goal. That's why these guys are yelling, defund the police. They're yelling that because they've got to give a place as a vacuum will be filled with federal troops. Oh, I didn't say troops, did I? Oh, my. Federal troops. Okay? That's the direction. Let's just talk about this small item I've talked about now for 2 years. Actually, it's over 2 years. Militias. State militia. was replaced by what? The National Guard federalized the state militia. So it's not a state militia. It's a National Guard. And it's paid by the nation, and it's staffed by the nation. Weapons from the nation, everything that the militia is supposed to have. No, don't get it. The National Guard gets it. And there are no functioning state militias. That's the goal. Get rid of that group of people, because that was people. We got to get rid of them. We're not controlling them. We can't control all those people. In Utah, it would be like 800 men out working, and women too, I'm sure, out doing the job of a militia. We can't control them. So we get rid of them, and we'll put in a National Guard so we can control it. This is all the same thing. Destroy this country. Destroy the Constitution. Destroy all vestiges of freedom. Destroy all liberty. Right now, I'm going to say it, you guys. We do not have a Constitution of the United States in effect. We do not have a Bill of Rights in effect. Do not, guys. We do not. I mean, I know I keep talking about let's keep it, let's get it going, let's save the Constitution. What we really need to do is resurrect the Constitution. That's what the title of the book should be. Resurrecting the Constitution. That's what it should be, not saving. Because that's what we need to do now. Oh, folks.
So what's this? How do we do that? I mean, you know, you're right.
You can only do it by knowing what it says.
Okay. That's true.
You can't do it if you don't know what it says. That's the very first step. You gotta know what it says. You don't want to go out and invent stuff. That's already been invented. Do what it says.
Are we not past this point? Now, hold on just a second, because I agree with you on this. All right. But I think also, too, and to what you're saying, you can read a pocket constitution and say, I don't need anyone to interpret this for me. And look, some people, okay, maybe you have that gift, but especially.
Let me point something out. Let me do this.
Go on.
I'm going to go. This is a part of the Constitution, the 20th Amendment.
Okay.
Now, you guys say you've read this document. Okay. You say that.
Right.
Now, let me go to Section 3. Now, I did this in the podcast. I'm not going to do quite so much as I did in the podcast.
Okay.
I'm going to read Section 3 of the 20th Amendment. If a president shall not have been chosen before the time fixed at the beginning, or if the president-elect shall have failed to qualify, then the vice president-elect shall act as president until the president shall be qualified. And the Congress may by law provide for a case where neither the president-elect nor the vice president-elect shall have qualified, declaring who shall then act as president or the manner in which the one who is act shall be selected. And that person will continue to act accordingly until a president or vice president shall have qualified. I'll bet you not one person in this room being this whole audience, has read that section and understands it. What that says is that they can say before the Electoral College meets, they don't like who was elected, who won. They could have let Trump win. Okay. They could, but they didn't. Okay. They got Biden to win. So here's the next excuse. And I expected this. This amendment allows this to happen. Congress says, by the way, we can't qualify either of these people for president. We can't qualify them. Look at all the problems with the election, and we can't qualify Trump. Look at all the problems. Look at all the lies. This is the Congress saying this. Look at all the lies and the problems we've had with ballots. These ballots and everything is so bad. We can't qualify either of these people. Therefore, since we can't qualify them, these guys are not qualified. We, the Congress, will, by law, declare who shall be president. And here's Nancy. I'll do it. Okay. Or the manner in which he's back. We select him by vote, majority vote in Congress now. That's the manner. Then it goes on to say, until a president shall have qualified, in the manner that the Congress has delegated at this point. And they could have done that in November, could have done it on the 5th of December, all kinds of days they could have done that. They could have done it every day up until the 20th of January. They didn't do it. It was the simplest way to get their way. I don't know why they missed it. I don't understand.
Wait a second. Not the simplest, in my view, not the simplest way to get their way. In my view, the simplest way to take care of a problem that should never have existed in the first place, with the voting irregularities, the election fraud, and the theft of votes and dead people. I mean, all the issues. So that should have been done because of the fraud that existed that brought us to the point where we're at, if I said it correctly.
But you see what I just said, what the 20th Amendment says, what this says in Section 3, and everybody who thinks that they understand that by a cursory reading, I got some land in Louisiana.
I did.
You guys believe you can understand these things with a cursory reading. I got a swamp for you. Anyway, so here, this is what I just said. They use what happened in the election, because everybody knows it happened. Okay? They use that. Congress now says, oh my, this, the very people who made it happen say, you know, I can't let a crisis go to waste. They say, oh, these guys, the election wasn't proper. We can't qualify them. You see the word qualify? We can't qualify them. Since we can't qualify them, we don't know who was elected. We better appoint somebody to be in their place until we can qualify somebody. You see, they could have done that any time after the 3rd of November up until the 20th. Any time they wanted. And there's nothing in Congress. How many? Two-thirds, one-third, 12, nothing. It just says Congress will declare. That's all it says. So Congress, Senate, the Senate, remember, the new House and the new Senate was sworn in office on the 3rd of January. So the new guys that are all controlled by the Democrat Party, the very people who destroyed the election, now control the Congress. Those people just say, oh, we made a mistake. Look at this problem. We can't qualify this president. So they say he's not qualified. And that's what the Constitution says.
But the Constitution also says that one vote, one man, or one person, one vote. Right.
No,
well, okay. I'm sorry. Let me retract that. That was a stupid thing for me to say.
Yep. It was wrong.
Yeah. It was incorrect and ignorant. Okay. So, the electoral call, I mean, okay, but they didn't. So I guess my point was in making that erroneous statement.
Hey, go ahead.
Point would have been, why didn't anyone in Congress do what you just stated, as elicited or as stated in the 20th
Amendment.
Right. Third, why?
Section 3. Why didn't they do it? I do not know. It was the easiest way possible to get that job done. And all the excuses were there in the news, and everybody knew about it. There were the excuses. They were not qualified because the vote from the people was not completely done properly. That's why they're not qualified. The very people who caused it to not be done qualified say it's not qualified. And now they have the Constitution with them. And they do. And so then they select somebody, whoever they want. Well, it's third person in line right then. She's the Speaker of the House. That's what it says in the Constitution. Speaker of the House is next. So here's Nancy. She's president. And she's going to stay president until the Congress decides somebody has qualified. And that could take decades.
And that is a frightening thought. Okay.
Now, wow. Do you think the people who are listening know what that says in their cursory reading of the Constitution?
And that's what, again, my point, although a very long-winded statement on my part, my point is you can have that pocket Constitution and read it, and the comprehension, look – you know, I'm a pretty intelligent guy, I think. At least I'd like to think so. Maybe y'all don't. You don't. But that's difficult to parse. So if you have, which is why Saving the Constitution, the book, I like it because that's like, oh, I don't want to say it's cheat sheet, but in a sense it is. It kind of, all right, what does that mean? Well, Richard Proctor spells that out. So that's a you know kind of an sell up for your book, Saving the Constitution.
Let's put some other things in this.
All right.
The 20th Amendment, we're still there.
Yep.
The 20th Amendment decided that the Congress will be sworn in office at noon on the 3rd day of January. Now, that's an interesting date, 3rd of January. What's the next thing that happens after the 3rd of January? The Electoral College meets. See the row? See the order? What's the next thing after the Electoral College meets? The inauguration in January rather than March. It was March the 4th before this amendment. So, guys, listen to this. Listen to this sequence of events. If the inauguration occurs, we have to go to the 25th Amendment, and that's really hard. But the 20th Amendment, there's no parameters. So the very first one says the date of the 20th is when the president will be inaugurated. The date of the 3rd, when the new Congress will be sworn in. Notice that the date of the 3rd, 17 days before the president. The same guy wrote down here now, down here he wrote, Congress can determine the president's not qualified. When? After the new Congress meets on the 3rd. They can say the president's not qualified because they don't like him for whatever reason. They don't want him there. The new president doesn't qualify. And they can say that after the 3rd. The 3rd, and they don't even have to have the 6th meet. Or this is what they could do. See, this is what, if they'd have asked me, okay, and I was on their side, I would have said, guys, look, let's plan this out. The 3rd, everybody's inaugurated, right? Signed it, not inaugurated, but they, whatever they do, they take their office on the 3rd at noon. Now, the Electoral College comes in, and maybe we won't get control of the Electoral College. So I tell you what, let's do. This is all done in the back room, okay? Actually, it was planned before the 3rd. Anyway, this on the 4th or the 5th, take your pick. We're going to decide at 1 o'clock in the afternoon that the presidency, neither candidate for the president qualifies. Neither vice president qualifies because of all the stuff that's gone on for this election that we've already caused to happen, but we won't tell anybody. We caused it to happen so we could do this. We won't tell them that. But anyway, that's what, so the 3rd, they all plan it. The 3rd, they all swear their allegiance to the flag and the Constitution and all of this. And then on the 5th at 1 o'clock, they say, not qualified. And before the ink is dry, they say, and we declare Nancy Pelosi is now President of the United States. Now President of the United States, not even inauguration. Now. And we declare that the manner in which she's elected is a majority vote in the Congress.
So okay. Now, one quick question and then one longer question. The quick question. Could that scenario have, because we can't get past November 3rd, if we want to save our country, could that have been done with the old Congress? In other words, prior, like between November 3rd and January?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe it could have, Doug, but think about this. More of the people who were of this ilk were in Congress on the 3rd than there were on the 2nd.
Ooh. Okay.
More of the people who were in control of cheating on the election were there on the 3rd than were there on the 2nd. So you've got a bigger group that are going to be on your side to do this.
But what I'm saying is the conservatives or the Republicans, couldn't they have done that from the time the election was decided until the swearing in the new Congress? Could they have done
that? Yes, they could have, but it wasn't so solid. The vote system wasn't so, they couldn't get the impeachment through the Senate. Could they get the impeachment through the Senate today?
No.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I follow you.
They've got enough rhinos today. They've got enough watermelon congressman. They got enough of everything, you know, green on the outside, red on the inside.
Wait a minute. I think maybe I don't follow you, because I was thinking, President Trump obviously had the votes to win, in my view, based on the election audits that, that we're seeing, that we're not hearing about in the media, by the way. But having said that, couldn't that have worked in favor of President Trump had the Republican majority, done that very same thing you're talking about? Could the outgoing body have done that?
Were the Democrats in charge of the House? Did the Democrats have the predominant major party of the House?
On
last year in October, the Democrats had control of the House. Republicans couldn't have done it. They wouldn't have let them.
Okay. I mean, even, okay, because a lot of shade is being thrown, and I believe rightfully so, on Pence, his actions on the 6th.
It wouldn't even have happened because they'd have done this on the 5th. There wouldn't have been a 6th.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay. But okay, so, wow, all right. But so let me take this again, folks. Saving the Constitution is a good book to really kind of walk you through and parse the language of the Constitution. So, but what about, for example, the Arizona audit, the Pennsylvania audit? Many audits across all of America are happening. You just don't know about them because they're not being reported on the news.
But Doug, you keep talking about things that have happened after this year, after the inauguration, after that. You're talking about things that are happening now.
Right.
Would not have been allowed to happen. Wouldn't have been needed. Nancy would be president, period.
But okay, so that didn't happen.
No debate.
But that didn't happen. But my question is now, let's say the state audits turn up, man, everything's just all, the election was a bogus election, like we said, you know. What happens then if the states say, hey, look at this. We found that Trump won, for example, or whatever the findings might be.
If we wanted to be honest.
Yes.
Oh, that's an interesting word.
If we wanted
to be honest, right. What you're saying, all these audits would then make Trump qualified and he would assume the presidency because Biden would not have been sworn in. Do you think Nancy will give up the presidency?
Nancy won't give up her ice cream or her, you know, $20,000 freezer.
You see, we can talk about all the things that might occur because of what we can see today, but we wouldn't have seen it if they'd have done this action on the 5th, because it would have been completely constitutional and nobody could argue with it. It's right here in the book.
Why in the world didn't you drive? Well, no, I'm glad you didn't drive to D.C. on, you know, during that period.
And explain this all to them.
Yeah, I'm glad you know.
I said, if I was their ilk, I'd been right there explaining to them exactly what this says, because they don't know what it says.
So, okay. Now we know what it says. And that's interesting because, so we have a body, a legislative body on both sides, the House and the Senate. Who are morons, essentially, that don't know the Constitution?
No, they're very, very wise people, but they do not know the Constitution because they never bothered to read it. Somebody may have known about the 20th Amendment, but he didn't have enough power to get it to anybody.
Huh.
Anyway, let's finish with that one.
Go ahead.
Okay?
Go ahead.
Now let's go into the 25th Amendment. Now the president's been inaugurated. Now we're on the 25th Amendment. Did you know that Section 4 allows the vice president and any group of people that the Congress selected by Congress? Because it's selected by Congress? Nope, it's not even selected by Congress. Vice president and a majority of either the principal offices of the executive department or of such other body as Congress may provide. So Congress will provide a body. This is now the 25th Amendment. Did you know that does not have to be legislative people? That does not have to be bipartisan. That's just a group of people that was selected by Congress. And they can sign a document that says the president is incapable of doing his job. And he'll write a letter back and say, I am capable. The next day they'll say, we don't accept the letter, he's incapable. So then it has to go to Congress to decide. And if they have two-thirds of a vote wrapped up, he's out. And it's not an impeachment.
Okay.
That's what the 25th Amendment says. Guys, do you really think we all know what the Constitution says?
Apparently not. I'm looking at this differently. Apparently not. Okay. All right. So, but okay. All right.
Well, what's this? Put me on the out there. What's this book good for then? It's good for helping us know what the Constitution says so we can rewrite or so we can put it back in force again. But we cannot put it back in force if we don't know it. And in the conclusion, I outline a method to get your state back in force of the Constitution. And the state has the power to do it. But the federal government, they're not going to do it. You got to have the states do it. And the states can if you follow the directions that I mentioned in the conclusion. And you can bring the Constitution back and resurrect it.
So, what I see here is we are so far past broken. I mean, broken, you can't even see it in the rearview mirror.
The only way it can be resurrected is if a recognized government body of this country decides to establish it and say, we are following the Constitution as it's written.
Right.
And that's the only way we'll get it back.
You know, right before the show, we just had a brief conversation. It seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that we're looking at control not by the people in D.C., not by the House, not by the Senate, although they're the faces of the legislation, supposedly, and certainly not by Biden or heels of Harris, right?
Yes, so, he did.
Okay. So what the heck, and how do we need to bring back DDT, Rachel Carson's, pet project. We need to bring DDT back for the tyrants in behind the people in D.C.
Yeah, we just need a different formula for DDT to help us out.
There you go. Yeah.
But you see, those people are going to be there to try to stop anything that does happen. You've got to have an uprising in a state, one state, that will actually elect people who know the Constitution. And those people will follow it. One state, you got to have power in the Senate and the House. Enough power to overrule a veto if we can't get the governor. One of those kind of people. They got to have it. If they have the power to say we in the state of are going to follow the Constitution. I don't care what these people have said. The country's not following it, and we're going to. Then the Constitution is resurrected in that state. And other states, people like you and I, people that want to get something done, started, will see it happen once. And so they'll say, we're going to do it too. And we're going to do it too. And one of the reasons they'll do that is because the state that's going to follow the Constitution is going to say the senators will now be selected by the legislature. And we're going to have one representative for every 30,000 people in the population. Therefore, Utah will have 110 representatives in Congress.
Mm.
For example, that's what people who's following the Constitution will do.
Right.
Because they say, we are going to follow it because that's the oath of office. We said we would and we're going to. But right now, you don't have anybody. We sure don't have them in Utah. We couldn't find 10 that would be that we qualified to do that, to say that. 10. Mm-hmm. I don't believe we find 10. That's a biblical thing. Can you find 10?
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, that's what I'm saying. You know, everybody wants to know, how can we fix it? How can we fix it? Well, there's only one way. Some state, one of them, somewhere, has to do what I just said and take control and bring the Constitution, resurrect the Constitution back in their state because they've sworn to uphold it. Now, I've sworn to uphold it. I'm gonna. and we're going to nullify everything from the federal government that's unconstitutional. Pew, out of here. Everything.
Well, you know, Dr. Proctor, there is, by the way, Provis, P-R-O-V-I-S, ProvisInstitute.com. There's one other way, and it was spoken about at the time of our founding fathers. You know, the blood of, or the tree of liberty needs to be watered.
Yeah,
or,
that's the way, too.
You know.
You really want to have the war, just want to have some politics.
You know,
can we just fix it this way without killing people?
Yes, and you know, here is the bottom line issue as far as I'm concerned. If we don't fix it, there will be war. Because so let's fix it the right way to avoid that. Because you know what, people say, well, I'll just get my gun and I'll go out. You know, yeah, it sounds good, right? Or you're actually going to get off your couch, out of your air conditioned or heated home, and you know, look, it may come to that. But, you know, I'm not for that. I'm not advocating that. And because do you really want to give up your lifestyle? Do you really want to risk everything, lose everything? You talked about the you know, the founders of this country, how they ended up.
Yes, every one of them. Every one of them.
All right.
Well, you know, if we don't do something like that and we allow this thing to continue the direction it's going, where somebody will rise to the surface and will say, get your guns, guy. We're going to do the task.
Yeah.
I don't want him to say that because all the people that will be destroyed, all the families that will be destroyed, it can be done today in a political move if you just would do it.
You know, and I to your point, what I'm seeing right now happen, and this is just an observation, I'm seeing – and this connects with what you said earlier. I'm seeing mama bears, you know, the mothers of children, kind of rallying together and making their dissatisfaction known on a local level. I'm seeing some fathers do so as well. I'm seeing, well, parents, I'll just say parents. But I'm seeing this general discontent, but it's not being expressed at a federal level. It's being expressed at a local level, in many local levels. And that's one thing. And then I'm seeing the other side of things where you've got, you know, Biden showing up for the storm relief up there in New Jersey. And he's getting a verbal beatdown. You got Trudeau up there in Canada, but whatever city, you're getting pelted by gravel. You know, a verbal beatdown over the tyranny. You see what's going on in Brazil right now. People are rising up en masse in Brazil saying, no, you're not. But, and then on the other side of that, you see Australia, the Australians, and Kidiawi, thank you so much. God bless you, man. I hope you're safe. But you see Australia in this draconian Orwellian situation, this lockdown. You know, you're allowed out of your house 1 hour a day with a mask for exercise. What the hell is that about? And everyone's saying, okay, we'll do it. No problem. I mean, seriously, I don't know. You know, this is a global thing.
Yes, it is. It is. They're talking about it in the grand way. You absolutely are right. You're absolutely right. Those things are going on in Australia. They've even gone one step further. They've isolated Queensland from New West Wales. They build a fence between on the border to keep people one way or the other. Not quite sure what they meant, but that's what they did.
Is that going to happen here in the United States? For example, you know, New York, Pennsylvania. Okay, you know, New York. Or I shouldn't say New York, Pennsylvania. New York and anyone else, or Los Angeles, or California, anyone else. You know, the deep blue, largely populated. Deep blue states with the most loony libs, for example, or loony progressives or loony communists, whatever. Do you see this happening with the states? Because you mentioned earlier about the state versus state stuff taking place.
Yes. But I wouldn't look at those states. I would look at the state like old Nebraska. That's okay. A rural state. That's a state with lots of conservative people. That's a state that wants to have law and order. And they're tired of mean federal troops coming and bothering them. And I could see a state like that erecting a fence and saying, get out of here. We're not allowing federal troops in here. We'll allow anybody but the federal government in here, but we're going to have a fence. We're going to keep them out. I could see that.
Okay. All right. Let me take this in a slightly different direction because, but it's in the same, it's in the same vein of this discontent. You see very few people. The September 13th is when this, vaccination mandate. And again, the, those words, I apologize for the use of the words, but that's what it's known as. Take place in New York City. You can't go into a restaurant, sit down, have a meal if you don't show proof of your quote vaccination. Okay. And of course, now we're seeing very few people. But still, there are some putting up resistance to that. Restaurant owners, business owners, gym owners saying, no, we don't discriminate here. So you've, again, okay. What a flippant mess Richard Parker Robinson said. Help me out.
Now you're into the economic side of this.
Okay.
Thing.
Okay.
You are, and absolutely you are. Let's talk about human nature.
Well, civil liberties too, not just economics, but yes,
economics. Well, I understand, but this time, the bar owner, the restaurant owner, okay, we're going to abide by that. How many people would not come into his restaurant now because he's doing that? Lots. He would lose a big part of his clientele. Yes. The government has shut him down with that statement. You can't go in the restaurant if you don't have a mask, you don't prove vaccines, people won't go there, especially if one didn't. He'll lose his business. He doesn't want to lose his business. He's got all that set up. He's got all this been going on for years. He's not going to shut his doors. And that's what the government of New York wants them to do, shut their doors to all the clientele that don't abide by the rules that we establish. So you're talking about businesses that we won't do it. We will not. Okay? And that will start all the businesses doing that. That's the economic side of it. I'm not going to destroy my business for your stuff. I'm going to keep my stuff open. I need the people to come and see me. So I'm going to make sure everybody can that wants to.
But there are places of business saying, if you're not vaxxed, you're not coming in here.
That's okay, then I won't go there. I'll go to the one that allows me to go.
Right. And there are places saying we don't discriminate. And there are places saying if you are vaxxed, you're not coming in here. So, I mean, you talk about.
Yeah, there's that too.
So you talk about creating such a divisive environment. Means motive and opportunity. Motive means opportunity. Classic, in the crime world. So, the entire planet's a crime scene. By the deep state globalists that you talk about, you write about in the Liberty series. And, you know, again, we come back to that again. It's these people, elected or unelected, causing this division within our country and within the entire world, actually. But specifically now we're talking about the United States because we have a constitution. And by the way, oh yes, we have guns too. All right. So just saying.
Most people don't have those guns or the constitution. I don't have them. They got them all confiscated. Their weapons.
Right.
For the very purpose. So the government can do these kinds of things.
Oh, man.
Second Amendment was to stop the government, not to control arms. To stop the government. Stop the government from stealing our society from
us. Right.
That's what it's about.
Well, you know, there was a, something happened in New Zealand, a knife attack where they, now they put all the knives, you know, behind the counter like Sudafed here in America. I cannot articulate properly the absolute mess that we're in. And yet, you know, specifically Americans, we have a high tolerance, don't we? We have a high tolerance for things.
It's getting too high.
Yeah.
But you see, there's the same group of people worldwide doing it. It's this international banking establishment. They're the ones doing it, and they're united. They know exactly what they're doing. They want it done. And the communication and travel is so easy. Oh, my, they can go wherever they want, whatever, do whatever they want. And they don't have to worry about communication lines that you and I would. They can all have satellite phones, and they will, or do. And they can have their own private plane, so they can go where they want in their private plane. And they do. So they can do whatever they want worldwide as long as the people will put up with it. And we are.
Yeah, we are. And you know, I withdraw my consent. I mean, it's the consent of the governed, isn't it? Isn't that the bottom line what we're talking about here?
Yes, that is the bottom line that we're talking about.
So
I'm going to read something from this article. How could even one American think that we have any rights at all today when we don't even have the right to decide what is or is not injected into their own body? Whether or not healthy people can be forced to quarantine for years, whether or not they can walk the streets or shop freely without a mask on, even when the mask box itself tells them that the mask will never prevent the spread of any virus. Seriously, is any American really this stupid? Sadly, the answer is yes.
Well, all right. And then we deserve what's coming to us then, right?
In a sense. I don't like to say that, but you know, we're bringing it on ourselves. I'm not going to say we deserve it, but it's happening because we won't stop it.
Can I ask
we
you?
Stop okay. it because we don't believe this book again.
There you go.
They don't believe this book. Let me get it the right way. They don't believe this book. I can't get it in front of the camera.
The Constitution of the United States for radio listeners. All
this
right.
book right here. There That's the book. They don't know this book. They don't believe it. They don't use it. They don't read it. Oh, yeah, I read the Constitution. Yeah, right.
Yeah, just like Bibles. Okay, yeah, I read my Bible. Yeah, you know, I can't remember who said this, but if you want to hide something, hide it in the Bible because no one's going to look there.
Or find it in the Bible. Yeah.
So
anyway, guys, this has been a really negative event here for a little while. And I don't like negative events, but we must face up to the fact that we are not doing the job we need to do as a people.
Well, and. Which is going to, and let me ask you this, because I want to just get your take on this as we approach 9/11, the 20th anniversary, with all the crap that went on in Afghanistan, you know, with that hasty withdrawal. And I know that it sounds like I'm changing subjects. I'm really not. You know, the decisions that were made to leave Americans behind, in my view, the crimes that took place.
Yes.
Okay. By the same they're people,
actually,
that, go ahead.
They're actually not letting Americans get on the planes to come here now from Afghanistan.
You know, yeah,
they are preventing flights from coming with Americans. They're preventing American citizens from coming back to this country.
That's right. And I could not believe. I mean, I listened to Glenn Beck and saw him, and I know his efforts. Okay, I'll just leave it there. I'm not going to name drop or anything beyond that. I just know what's going on over there. And not only are they leaving Americans behind, they're actually turning them over to the Taliban.
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
Our government, Lusitania sank with 170 people on it. We went to war. Now we've got 20,000 people and we don't care.
Yeah. Well, let me just ask you this.
How do I know? Yeah. How do I know? Because nobody has stormed the White House about it. Nobody is trying to make any noise about it. The only people that even know about it are people that listen to people like us, like Beck, Wells, people like that.
Right.
David Knight. They're the only people who even know about it. And they don't really. The rest of them, and that's 90% of the population, maybe it's 95%, don't care. They don't know. And they're not going to do anything about it. But they all knew about the Lusitania, and everybody joined fighting, went to fight World War I over that.
So, much can be said about the Lusitania. Much could be said about Pearl Harbor. You know, much can be
let's
said.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, exactly. And now you've done a good job, too. And again, I have to say, in the Liberty Series, really kind of laying out the foundational aspects of, you know, how we got to where we are. So, you know, you said something and it bothers me because it's always negative. You know, things are always negative, but you know what? It's not negative biased. It's a current reality as opposed to negative. But it is negative, isn't it? I mean,
yes, it is.
So
I would like to be talking about Christ and the atonement and resurrection and all of those kinds of things.
Amen.
And pointing out those kind of benefits for us. And I'd like to, but the Lord wants us to keep our freedom. And since he wants us to keep our freedom, we should do that. And you can't do that if you don't know about it. So I'm trying very hard to help people know what this book says. So when the day comes that they're going to resurrect it, they'll know what to do, what it says to do it.
Okay. And to your point, because people will say, well, it's too late. It's too late for the Constitution. In my view, okay, kind of like Nehemiah, all right, he's building a wall, you know, they're building a wall and they're got a sword in the other hand, brick in one hand, and they're going, you know, fighting with, you get the idea, right? You're building and fighting. All right, you're doing two things at once. We can do two things at once, right? We can.
Yes, we can. We can do two things at once. We could reunite as a people. We could do those kinds of things. What do I find myself surrounded with? I find myself in a neighborhood surrounded with people, by and large, that don't care.
Right. I think we all do, in a sense. I mean, we've all got that.
And I'm trying to rally them. I had a sign out in front. I'll put it back soon. I had a sign out in front that said, Constitution Party meets here. Come and join us. Nobody came. I've got a Constitution Party meeting in my home tonight.
And you had the coffee on and no one came. Doggone it. All right.
Right. That's right. Huh. I'm sorry, guys. I see it around me. I see a lot of people responding. Lots of people are responding. They're wanting to know. They're wanting to learn. That's what my Patreon program is about.
Right.
So that they can know the background of all of these things so that they'll have they already have that, but they'll have the information to know what to do to resurrect the document. But you can't do it if you don't know the background, if you don't know why. The only reason I know these things is because I wrote this book, these books, all six of them. That's the only reason. I learned it while I wrote those books. Well, I learned it while I prepared to write those books, and I started learning in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. But everybody doesn't have to do that because I already written it down. They don't have to do that.
I appreciate that. We appreciate that. And I think that everyone needs to really kind of I think second to the Bible is our Constitution. I think that we have to.
By the way, just for grins, I'm going to make an advertisement.
Okay.
Well, a second edition of Volume 2 is at the printers, and from now on, Volume 2 will be sent out.
Wait. Volume 2 of what? Saving the Constitution.
The Liberty Series.
The Liberty Series. Okay.
Volume 2 of the Liberty Series. Second edition is at the printer.
Really?
And it has scads of new information in it. Had to do a volume 2.
Okay, I've got my volume 2 here. Do I need to reach for it? I can. So that's pretty exciting. What did you – can I ask what you changes you made? Or?
Oh, yes. I added significant information about the 1971 corporation stuff. I added significant stuff about the 13th Amendment that's been lost, and then other smaller things here and there. But those two are the biggies.
You meant the 1871 corporate stuff, right?
Yes, that's what I meant. All right. Did I say 1971?
Yeah,
that's fine. Well, you guys are supposed to know what I mean, no matter what I say. Come on.
There you go. Yeah, come on, man. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. Which, and that's going to answer a lot of people's questions because, we're a corporate. Yeah, I get that, folks. I get what you're saying. So I can't wait to get the new, volume 2, and I'm going to be getting that as well. So folks, we're talking with Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Link to his pages in the program description box at HagmanReport.com as well. He's got a Patreon. You had your Patreon meeting,
No. It's coming.
It's coming. All right.
Yes. Not next Tuesday, but the Tuesday after.
All right. And that's going to be about conspiracies, or did I?
Yes.
Okay.
We are going to talk about conspiracies, starting on page 17 of volume 1.
All right. All right. So there it is, folks who are watching this. There's the Patreon page. It's Provis. What does it say, Eric? I can't. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Patreon.com/Provis. Thanks. You know what? You're okay there. All right. So that's the Patreon. So sign up for that. And, of course, your weekly podcasts are very instructive, which you've got to love that. Saving the Constitution with Richard Proctor. You get in all sorts of really neat stuff in that hour, you know, approximately.
This particular one, this, I don't know how many people will listen to it. It's kind of slowing down a little bit, but this particular one is going to spend an awfully lot of time on the 20th and the 25th Amendment.
I'm glad. And folks, what you heard today, you know, isn't it funny that we had, it's kind of like a guy with a broken something. I don't know. Something's broken. And if you're like me, if you're a guy like me, last thing you do is look at the instruction manual, right? To fix it, or a repair manual to fix it. You're just gonna, you know, so we have the instructions, for fixing our country in the Constitution, but no one refers to it. I don't know. It's amazing to me. So you do a lot of great work. Now, because we're not going to have a program between now and the next time we meet, September 11th, 2021 is going to happen 20 years. Can I just ask you a question?
Yes.
What do you think, given your vast, and I mean vast experience living all over the world, seeing history replete and writing about history and historical events, do you think that because of Afghanistan, because of the 11th, the Taliban being recognized as the government there, do you see any bad things, you know, like false flags here in the U.S., like a Lusitania, like a Pearl Harbor, like a 9/11? Anything repeating, do you think? Or don't they need that? I'm asking for your speculation now.
I know. I want to make sure what you're asking. A repeat of something that would cause us to gather as a country and come around again to begin to get our country back?
Ooh.
Is that what you want
to do? Oh, ouch. Yeah, you beat me down with that answer.
Well, if that's what you're asking, I'm not sure if there is one, but I sure hope there would be one.
You know, no, but you made a good point with that question. You know, do you mean something that would rally the country? Because people are looking for false flags. Oh, watch out. There's going to be, and you make a very good point. What happened after 9/11, but however short lived that was.
It still really rallied the country. 9/11 rallied the country. Patriotism became important. Something like that happened. Oh, I would really like it.
But it also brought us the Patriot Act.
Yes, but that was because the government planned it, not the people. See the difference?
Roger. Yes.
The government planned that so they could bring the patriarchy in. It wasn't a coincidence. They did it on purpose. Okay, well, if the people do it, it's not for the purpose of the patriarchy. The Patriot Act is for the purpose of, you might say, getting rid of the Patriot Act.
I'm going to have to start calling you Corn Pop. Corn Pop was a bad dude. Remember that on the... Joe Biden. Okay. Yeah, you make too much sense. Come on now. Come on, man. You make too much sense.
I'm sorry. I won't do it. I'm sorry. I'll try not to.
Huh. Wow. All right. So, okay. We've got about, I can't believe how quickly time goes. And I want to thank people again. Thank you. By the way, we had our own Patreon meeting on Sunday. Thank you very much, folks, for your support. So, okay, you've got the last 7 minutes. Go wherever you want to go and talk.
7 minutes. Where do I want to go?
Yeah, you want to go. You want to go take a nap, right?
Okay. Let me see what happens here. You, when you were talking about 9/11, you said there's going to be a celebration of 9/11 here.
No, I didn't say celebration. I said I didn't like to use the word anniversary. And
I thought I heard celebration. Maybe I may not have, but that's what I thought I heard. And I thought to myself, celebration? That's not. We can't have a celebration of that.
No. If I did,
that particular event was caused by our government so that our government could take more control over us. How do I know that was caused by our government? How do I know that? I don't have a question about it. Here's how I know. Have you ever seen a building demolished, Doug. Ever see a big building demolished? You know how they decide in Las Vegas that they're going to tear down all the Sahara Club so they can build a new one, and they demolish the whole hotel and everything?
I have. Yes, I have.
What always happens in those buildings when they come down? Always.
You know, I've got a 41-second video of Building 7. I can't Eric the tech, but it fell on their own foot. They fall on their own footprints.
Yes, they fall on their own footprint. Always. They always do. You've seen pictures of war movies and stuff like that. And when they get hit by something, they fall sideways or backwards or whatever. They collapse on people, right? Now, it's brought down in its own footprint. The Sahara, for example, I think it was one of them, brought down in its own footprint so it won't damage anything next to it. Well, so these buildings, huge, tall buildings, were brought down in their own footprint and didn't damage anything next to it. That's an impossibility. Okay, then here we have building 8, right? Is 8 or is it 7?
No, the building other building. 7. Building 7.
Building 7.
That's the one I had.
The other building.
Yeah.
Yep. The other building falls down. How long did it take that building to fall down? 8 seconds.
Yep.
You can time it. 8 seconds. Now I'm going to ask you a question. If I took this book right here, nice book, if I'm trying to get it up here, if I took this book and I just put it over the air and I dropped it, how long would it take to get down to the floor?
Well, let me get my slide rule out.
Two or three seconds, or a second or two. All right, now I'm going to take this book and I'm going to have it stacked on a whole bunch of other books. And how long would it take it to fall down if we burned the other books or did stuff to the other books?
Yeah, or collapse the floor.
Yeah, well, see, guys, this is what happened. Now, I want you to think about this. Here we have a building. I don't know how many stories it was. Over 100, I think. It was huge. All built with concrete, rebar, and steel. Well, when the first one fell down, it's going to pause before the second one will fall down. It'll pause before the third one will fall down. It'll pause before the fourth one will fall down. It'll pause. It would take 10 minutes, 5 minutes anyway, for the building to fall down. It couldn't possibly fall down as fast as it can if all the stuff underneath it was removed and whammo went down. And we know it went whammo down because we can see the pictures of the wreckage not being higher than a couple of stories. All laying flat down. How? How come? That's an indication all by itself. Next indication. Do you know what the temperature takes to melt rock?
To melt rock?
Yeah, rock. Just plain old rock. That takes about 1,500 degrees centigrade.
You don't mean steel, do you?
No, rock.
Rock.
Rock. About 1,500 degrees centigrade. That's what lava is, by the way. That's what lava is. 1,500 degrees centigrade. How hot does a fire get that you burn in your home as fast, as hot as it would ever get? Not more than 500 degrees. Not more than that. Probably not more than 200 degrees or three. So how, if you have a fire from gasoline, from an airplane on the 50th or 60th floor, how does that get hot enough to melt anything, any concrete or any steel? Or any rebar, or anything. How does that get hot enough to do that? It isn't hot enough. Now, if you had molten lava you could pour down, you'd see it'd be hot enough to do it. But you don't. You've got regular rocks, regular stone, regular concrete, regular steel. It's not hot. It's cool to room temperature before this happens. And it collapses on its own in just a few seconds. See, all reasonable thinking will know that 9/11 did not occur from two airplanes. We know that the airplane that went into Pennsylvania wasn't there because they can't find any litter about it. They never found any litter. There were no people, there were no bodies, there were no cushions. None of that stuff was there.
I talked to one of the agents on the ground. Yeah.
That just disappear?
Yep.
And then I've seen them. Here they have a gizmo coming straight into the Pentagon, just happened to hit a very important place, too. Right straight in.
Yep.
The sides didn't go. If the plane can penetrate, the wings can't, which, by the way, is the next point. Airplanes are built with as light, with as light of material as they possibly can, or they couldn't fly.
Richard Proctor, Provis Institute. Richard, thanks for guiding me through today. Appreciate it. God bless you, my friend. Link in the program description box. Folks, that'll do it for us tonight. God bless each and every one of you. See you tomorrow. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Good night.